All right, we go national on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, who was on assignment 2 days ago covering the Masters for the Real Kipper and Bourne Show.
Yeah, I was not covering anything other than never mind.
A bucket.
The old gentle
the old
phrasing.
Drone. Hey, get your text in 590-590. If you're anywhere you're listening in the country, get your text in. I want to get them all organized for the second half of our show, so I've got them all ready to rock. 590-590. Text us.
Canucks,
your
Oilers,
thoughts, anything.
Jets fans, let's go.
Anything, your Masters predictions, all that kind of stuff. Text us.
Definitely Masters thoughts.
Thank you.
In a couple of minutes, we're going to be joined by Gary Galley, former NHLer, who's always a great guest. No one covers the league better than him and Craig Simpson, and we're lucky for it here at Sportsnet, Hockey Night in Canada. Plenty guys going on, and yeah, we've made fun of the league a little bit for this turtle race of a turtle race to the Stanley Cup playoff spots.
We hammer it every day.
Yeah. A lot.
And hammering it.
But.
It's a dumb league.
Thank you, Torts. But there is a tremendous amount of intrigue on, like, who's playing who? Who's getting in? Who's playing who? If that's one thing that the league wanted, they've got it.
I don't think there's a set series yet in the playoffs, and we are, you know, a week from it starting, which is pretty crazy, pretty cool. I think the most likely playoff series are now Winnipeg, Colorado.
That's pretty much set.
And Leafs, Panthers.
Home ice is not set in that yet, though, because they're both tied at 104 points through 79 games played.
Yeah. Oh, so, buddy, is that going to be a hockey series?
Oh, yeah.
So we've got, like, some real big matchups here this weekend. And if we want to start in the East, first of all, where do the Rangers end up? Where does Carolina end up? Tonight, Carolina versus St. Louis. And Carolina, as we've labeled, is kind of one of those, I don't know if they're sneaky or not sneaky. Do we put them up with the very best in terms of the expectations?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely do. And they have St. Louis, who are a non-playoff team this year, Chicago, Columbus to finish. They're 3 points behind the Rangers, who only have 2 games left. So, you know, it's going to be tight there. The Rangers have the Islanders next. Islanders, Ottawa. So the Islanders have the chance to cost them potentially a President's Trophy if they were to get a win there.
Rangers and the Islanders tomorrow.
Which, by the way, how about that series?
At 12:30. So while we all want to start talking about load management, these two teams are coming off a week where they want each other hurt really bad.
Yeah. I mean, you look at Trocheck not happy about the Noah Dobson hit. Zibanejad got, you know, ran into by Pelech or whichever way you want to say that. So they're hot. Islanders humming, man. They have kind of emerged from this pack of teams. They have 89 points. Right now you have the Penguins with 86, the Capitals 85, Detroit 85, Philly 85. Coming down with the Islanders are probably going to get in. They probably need 2 points in the next 3 games.
Any love for Patrick Waugh, the coach that I would have hired if my group bought the Ottawa Senators?
Your Senators almost got...
They're crushing it with their minus 20 goal differential.
I think they were minus 600 before Washington. So. It's not his fault.
Six in a row, though, again. Like, they've had such a weird run.
They're the weirdest
run.
Team in the league.
They won, what did they win? Six? Lost? Was it seven?
Yeah, they're always winning.
Up and down.
Four or
up
five
and down
in a row.
They go.
Saturday night, the Boston Bruins and Pittsburgh.
Wow.
Now, that for the Boston Bruins now, they're in a position that if they could still end up the top team in the Eastern Conference.
I mean, it's a weird year. They could win the President's Trophy.
Which means they've got a chance to maybe avoid Tampa Bay Lightning.
Oh, yeah.
You think that's something to play for? Would you want to play Tampa if you're the Boston Bruins?
No. Absolutely not.
That's the number one team I'm trying to avoid.
Yeah, you are competing to get whichever team limps into the wild card.
That's right.
Yeah, so this is now Rangers versus Bruins.
So Boston catches the Rangers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
they can go get Pittsburgh. They can get Detroit. Much different feel than
Vasilevsky, Cooper, Stamkos, Hall of Famers, Cirelli, Kucherov, Hedman. How was that team in seventh?
Yeah, I don't know.
But so much at stake here.
Yeah. This is we're at a great window for the NHL. These games are certainly big. And boy, the Pacific Division right now, got the Oilers 4 points behind the Canucks. They're going to play Vancouver on Hockey Night in Canada. Presumably, Edmonton will mop up Arizona tonight. I'm just going ahead and calling that one. I know Arizona's been pretty good lately, but the Oilers are great. They could be 2 points behind the Canucks with a game in hand going into a game against the Canucks, which, you know, you get yourself out of that 2-3 game, which could see Vegas in it, and that would be big in itself. So,
all right, we're going to have we got Gary or we're waiting on Gary? Okay, couple
take a
minutes.
We
it's hard to mention the Western Conference without talking about. Oh, by the way, Mark Stone cleared to practice in Vegas.
No,
some people want to. There's like breaking news or like, nope, you didn't see this coming. Breaking news.
You know what? I'm not annoyed at anyone now being like, "Hey, wait a second." I am annoyed retroactively at the people who, when it happened, were like, it's a real thing, this spleen thing. Yeah, okay, but we know what's happened here. We've always known. Why did we pretend then?
I mean,
we didn't. But people certainly did. I think they just got lucky. Do you?
I do.
I think my favorite thing in this whole thing is the most unprovable injury of all time is spleen. How can you say his spleen's not hurting?
I can't explain it.
All right.
Boo.
But it's like, it's the most unchallengeable thing I've ever heard of. Spleen. Got a spleen thing. Oh, his spleen.
Like, if you were going to come up with something that's fake, spleen. Probably on the top list would be spleen. In retrospect.
He's having glandular issues. Like, what is good? Spleen. I'm never going to forget spleen for the rest of my life.
And I do not blame Vegas.
No.
I don't. Not.
They're competing to win the cup.
I tell you who.
You play to win the games.
I'm an Oiler fan, boys. Ooh, hot. I am pissed.
Hot.
All right, let's welcome him in. He's got his camera, I believe, all set up. Welcome in Gary Galley, Sportsnet Hockey Night in Canada. Oh, you look great, buddy.
There he is.
Look great.
My spleen was bothering me.
Well, it got healed just in time.
Attaboy. Oh, man. Want to get your thoughts right out of the gate just to pick up our conversation on the news that Mark Stone has been cleared for practice. And lo and behold, yes, I think there's some still challenges for Vegas. It's not you've been around the game long enough where you know that anything can look great on paper, but to come together in a quick manner, I think Vegas still needs to do that. Just your overall thoughts on Vegas lying in the weeds right now with a huge, impactful player like Stone on the cusp of coming back.
You know, it's like, it's really difficult at any time to question a player's injury. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think hockey players in general are, you know, when they're hurt, they're hurt. Most of them will play through, minor injuries. And some of them will, as we saw in the playoffs last year, some of the guys will play with significant injuries. You don't want to question the injury. Maybe you question more, the timing of when it's going to be healed. And you could plan it around that. Given Mark Stone and all the bounces and bruises and dents that he has on that body, it would be okay to give him a bit of a rest heading into the playoffs, knowing he has shown you in the past he's able to step it up to playoff gear and get going and lead this hockey club. So an emotional guy, I don't expect to see anything different. Vegas has been, I think trying to weave through the quagmire of winning a Stanley Cup and then trying to repeat it. Keeping guys fresh, guys that are, played a lot of hockey, trying to get them to lock back in and play that playoff type brand as you're coming down the stretch. They haven't been able to do it. They've added a few pieces. Those take time to gel, but yes, it can happen. But I do think there are other teams that I would put ahead of them going into the playoffs right now.
So how much do you think a team's playoff seed, like going into the postseason, matters? I'm asking about Vegas, but I'm also asking about Tampa Bay, who's going to enter the postseason as a wild card team. You know, like, is it really indicative of the type of teams that they are, or is it just sometimes teams have tough circumstances along the way, and these are still Stanley Cup contenders?
Well, it's really hard to, I've been to the Stanley Cup Finals, and I haven't won a cup, but, Nick has, and he's been through the grind of it all, and he knows what it's like to kind of reload back in the summer and get going again. And remember, Vegas got off to that great run and got going like crazy, and everyone thought, oh, man, they're just hit the ground running. But you know you're going to hit a bump somewhere. You know you're going to hit some bumps. The key is, can you time it so that you're hitting the playoffs on an upswing and you're feeling confident? Even though they've won a cup, it's about feeling confident going into this thing. You look at the Nashville Predators. 2 weeks ago, who would have wanted to play them in the first round? Now they've shown a little bit of, some guys are getting a little bit beat up as they're making this hard run. Saros has looked a bit off, probably getting a bit tired. They need to start resting him as they've got the playoff spot. I think, you look at a team like Tampa Bay, who's kind of took a while to get going, but now they've got it going. They've got the potential Hart Trophy winner there and the guys who know how to win in the playoffs and Braden Point. But it's just really hard to know. There's like a half a dozen teams out there that I think if they can stay healthy through the playoffs or generally stay healthy, they have enough depth to get it done. And it could be any one of those six in my mind. I don't think there's a clear favorite, and that's what's made this year kind of crazy. And we're still going through some of the craziness down the last three or four games of the season for positioning and everything. But to hit the playoffs playing your best hockey, like, put it this way, if you're the Winnipeg Jets, you had that incredible downturn where it looked like, oh my Lord, everything's falling apart. And now they've caught it back together again, and they've beaten Colorado. They've beaten Dallas. They're showing that they're a good four-line team that's got some good forecheck and can really rattle and hum. They've still got some areas that are question marks for me, but I think every team does. There's no perfect team out there right now.
We're joined by Gary Galley, former NHLer color analyst with Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada. Gals, we saw Vancouver see its lead over Edmonton shrink to just 4 points here. Connor McDavid not questioning what's nagging him, but I sure do get a sense that it's more load management than anything else. Your thoughts on the big game this weekend and where Edmonton truly stands here for rest versus rust going into the playoffs?
I think Connor McDavid, I think, is the type of player that I believe would have wanted to play it out, go into the playoffs feeling like he's, there's no rust on anything. He's running and gunning. He's firing on all cylinders. Don't change a thing. Just go right into the playoffs that way. There has to be something going on with him that maybe just isn't settling itself down. And I think when he started to make the run and Kucherov just kept loading up the points, it was kind of like, do we really feel it's important to keep running this guy? And because it's important, he wants to win the scoring race, and it's an individual thing, but it's his legacy and all this stuff. Or is it more important to make sure that these little things that are bothering him are settled so that when we hit the playoffs, winning the Stanley Cup is the only thing that matters? And I think Connor McDavid is going to win Art Ross trophies moving forward in his career. I think he's going to win Hart trophies. But the one trophy that is a timing thing, and where the timing is of the Edmonton Oilers, is that they're playing some of their best hockey of the season. They look like a team that's figured it out. They've got some guys who are having great seasons. If they can transition those seasons and segue them into the playoffs, they're going to be a dangerous team. Of course, goaltending, which is for a lot of playoff teams, a question mark. Can they get it done in that area, and can they defend? When the games get into game 5, 6, and 7 to win a series, can they defend well enough to win? They know they can score, but I do believe that there is some things bothering Connor McDavid. I don't think they're serious, but I think they're enough for the Edmonton Oilers to say, why not just let him get rid of these things and hit the ground feeling 100% when the playoffs start? Because having a Stanley Cup in the end of June is a lot more impressive than having the Art Ross Trophy.
Gary, less than a week before the end of the season, I don't know if there's ever been an MVP race that is less decided. Connor, obviously a part of that conversation, but depending who you talk to, I mean, you can get 4 to 5 different answers. Kucherov is going to have 100 assists. McKinnon, the front runner. Matthews going to score 70. McDavid's the kind of the consensus best player in the game. Quinn Hughes, go through Panarin. What are your thoughts on how this is all going to shake out?
You know, the definition of the award really seems to be what everyone seems to be caught up in. You know, who is the most valuable to his team? If you took this player off this team, what would this team be like without him? I think it's too hard to just, it's really hard to go that way about it. If you took those players off teams, they would drop for sure. So I just think we're talking about a real special year, and we're looking at a couple of players that are going to have 100 helpers. We're going to have some 50 goal scorers, possibly, like you said, a 70 goal scorer, which hasn't been done in quite some time. And you've got an aging veteran, superstar, first ballot Hall of Famer, top probably 5 players in the history of ever playing the game, who's carrying a team on his back and has kind of willed them with his play at his age into the playoffs. How important is that? You know, like, there's so many things you can look at, but at the end of the day, it comes down to the 3 players that everyone's been talking about. It's McKinnon, it's Kucherov, it's McDavid. I think it's going to come down to those 3 guys, and there'll be a lot of people that are going to say, you know, McKinnon, you know, has done a lot of wonderful things and everything. He deserves this. No one deserves it. You earn it. And you don't just get it because you haven't got it before. You get it because you deserve it. And I do believe that when it all comes down to it, I do think it will fall between McKinnon and Kucherov, like it has been kind of presented all season long. And one of those guys will take it home.
Okay, you just can't push Connor McDavid aside and go to that without giving us your winner.
Well, I think if I'm going to pick the winner, in my opinion, I think it's Kucherov.
Wow. You know,
because
Kip too.
But everyone tried to climb back in his back pocket. He put the Heisman up and he was like, I don't think so, boys. Back off. Like, he is really dialed in. I think, yes, you have to look at, this is a team that has some great players that he's playing around, but he is the straw that stirs the drink there. And when he is going, he drags a lot of people along with him, and he makes this is a guy who takes on a lot of attention, right? He takes up a lot of oxygen there, and that leaves a lot of other space for guys like Braden Point and Nick Paul and all these guys to go around about their business. And Kucherov, with the tight checking, still finds a way to put up 3, 4, 5 points a night. And McDavid and McKinnon were turning the screws on him. Man, he turned around and said, I don't think so, boys. So unless there's a crazy resurgence by one of them that overtook him and just had this crazy finish, I would say that I'm leaning towards Kucherov.
You got a dark horse in these playoffs once they start. I don't even know if you can call anybody. It's so unpredictable in terms of a real long shot here. Nashville has been a team that I can't figure out at all. Like, yeah, I get it. Josi, Saros, Philip Forsberg, like, great, great talents. But we never saw that coming out of Nashville.
No.
Yeah, I think I had Nashville as potentially a team that could make the playoffs. And they shocked me when they were playing as bad as they were. I think that we have to give some credit, because we give credit a lot of times to the players. And you mentioned 3 wonderful players there. I think you got to mention Ryan O'Reilly, who brings that on his sleeve type attitude and wins faceoffs, won a Stanley Cup. I think he's been a real great addition to the Nashville Predators. Evangelista, they got some other guys in there that have really had solid years. Forsberg, of course, the game breaker. They got the Norris Trophy defenseman, and they got the Vezina goalie. So if you look at a team like Tampa, you look at a team like Nashville, they kind of fill the spaces with some really good players at every position, so it makes them a dangerous team. But I give a lot of credit to Andrew Burnett. I think he really pulled this thing back together, whether it was the concert they canceled in Vegas, the U2 concert, or whatever it was. He lassoed this group and got them back on track. I give him a lot of credit. And for me, I think there's a guy who could be up for Coach of the Year, or he should be in the nomination for it anyway. But, you know, you look at the East, and you tend to think that the 1 and 2 seeds are going to have an easier time in the East. because they're going to play Washington or Philadelphia or, you know, or maybe it's going to be Pittsburgh. So in your mind, you think that's going to be an easy out. But guys, we've seen Columbus take down Tampa. We've seen things in the past happen that are unexplainable. But you would think that the Rangers and the Boston Bruins, who I believe will eventually finish in first in that, but if not Florida, I don't think they're going to have a tough time with the remnants of who came in the bottom two wildcard spots. You know, I know Tampa, you know, certainly might provide a challenge more so than the eight seed, but I don't think those teams are going to have a problem there. Where if you shift it over to the West, I think, man, 1 through 8, 2 through 7, you pick whatever poison you want. You better be ready to go when the puck drops, or you could find yourself on the outside looking in real fast.
One organization that crossed paths with you was the Philadelphia Flyers. Just the fall of this organization that looked so promising for a Stanley Cup berth, and now on the outside looking in, just your overall thoughts on Philly and, more important, Tortorella. Did he lose something here? Did he open up something? Or is this just a team not ready?
Yep, opened up a can of whoop. You know what? That, you know, Torts is, I played for Torts in Buffalo. He was an assistant coach when I was there. I have nothing but respect for John. I consider John a friend. And there are times when John's emotion gets the better of him, and it's hard to be in his corner sometimes when you see some things. But this is a team, and I know this is like everyone thinks they're falling down, but I do believe this is the beginning of them getting up. I think the hiring of Briere and Jones and all this changing in the front office, Torts putting his fingerprints on this team, like talk it did in Vancouver. There is a particular way you have to play if you're going to be a Philadelphia Flyer. There's a particular way you're going to have to play if you're going to play for John Tortorella. And if you don't play that way, you don't play. They're looking to have, you know, that atmosphere and that they have around their team, that when you come into play as a Flyer, that's the way you have to play. And yes, they've had a fall here out of the playoffs, but man, Washington lost how many games in a row? You look at New Jersey was coming, they lost a whole bunch of games in a row. Like a lot of teams, Detroit, like a lot of teams that were hanging on there, they just don't have the ability to know how to win in this stage of their development as a team that's rebuilding. And so when the games and the expectations start to get closer and a lot tougher, you know, that stuff starts to creep into your head, how you think, how you play, your head's thinking, your feet aren't moving. Mistakes are magnified. Coaches are more intense. Everything changes, you know, when a team is playing, not even making the playoffs. You know, you look at Ottawa cruising along, winning games and whatever. There's just no anxiety, no pressure, no expectations. So it is harder to win like that. I do think the Flyers, at the end of the day, if they don't make it, they will be disappointed. But I do think they will look back on what they gained fighting to get into the playoff picture, battling for a playoff spot. That's all valuable games and valuable lessons they'll learn moving along. I know we're hearing things, you know, Torts is going to move up to management. He most certainly could. This is a guy who's been around the game and knows the game as well as anybody, and he could help in a lot of different areas within an organization. But I do believe his love is coaching, and I do believe that he wants to see this through and get this Philadelphia team and back to the, you know, where it believes it can get in the next year or two and be a strong contender. And that's kind of my opinion on where I think it's going to go.
You know, the Canadian teams have some really strong candidates in general talking about coaching for the Jack Adams. You know, Rick Tocchet in Vancouver, great job. Rick Bowness done an awesome job with Winnipeg. Knobloch taking over Edmonton, great job. Like, they have some of the front runners. Is there any of the Canadian teams to you that seems to be in the best shape, playing in a really good game that has a chance to go deep? You look every year, some team, Florida surprises, Montreal goes to the Cup final. Any of these teams could have a shot. Is there one of them that you think's playing well?
Well, I think Edmonton's had a has had a great season after that terrible start. Mm-hmm. I think they're a team that when you have the best player in the world. And Dreisaitl's not too far behind him. You got Hyman. You got all these wonderful offensive players. The always been the question is, are they going to get the ability? Are they going to get good goaltending? They're going to have the ability to defend in Stanley Cup playoffs when everything changes and you're winning games 2-1 or 3-2. You know, or do you, can you switch over to that and be comfortable in your skin playing that way? That's the thing to be the question there. You know, I think you look at the Vancouver Canucks, Tuck has done a crazy good job there, you know, realigning the way a Vancouver Canuck thinks, how he's he playing, and is he really playing hard as he can play? I mean, you know, oftentimes you can't see the forest from the trees. I think Rick Tuck had opened the players' eyes in Vancouver that you may think you're playing good hockey, but you're not playing good enough. And he found a new level for them. Now, yes, they took off. They had a little bit of a downturn, now kind of coming back up again. You know, I think this is a team that has a lot of weapons that could do some damage in the playoffs as well. So, you know, Winnipeg, man, I thought they could have finished. They could have won the President's Trophy. And then all of a sudden, everything kind of fell apart. I think Rick had a bit, you know, had to have that surgery. He left the team for a little bit. I think they were dealing with a bit of, I think they had some really good runs. I think they were dealing with a bit of fatigue, maybe some scheduling stuff that caught up to them. And this team just had a bit of a tip off. But man, if they got it back going again. I think that if you're in the hockey world and you have been in the hockey world for a long period of time, is there anybody more deserving than Rick Bowness to win a Stanley Cup?
Right.
Has put his whole life into hockey as a player, as an assistant coach, as a coach, his whole family is in the game, you know, like, and one of the nicest families you'll ever meet, and has been great for the game of hockey. So, I mean, they don't hand Stanley Cups out because you're a nice person. I understand that, but I'm just saying what a story that would be. And the team in Winnipeg, after they had that incredible letdown last year against Vegas, where I'm not saying they should have beat Vegas, but I think they didn't play the way they could have in that series, where it could have been a 6-7 game series. They just kind of lied down, and that wasn't palatable to Rick Bowness or the Jets management. So they have something to prove here, you know, and I think it's going to be, and they added Toffoli and Monahan. Are these guys, you know, going to score a whack of goals in the playoffs, game breakers? No, but they don't hurt you. They won't hurt you. These are guys that can play responsible hockey. They got four good lines there. They got a world-class goaltender on defense. That's where it's going to be, where I thought things kind of fell apart last year on the back end. They started to run out of gas. They had some injuries to Morrissey and that, and it really hurt them. But I really think that, you know, if Winnipeg gets off to a good start in the first round, I think they get their legs underneath them. They could be a dangerous Canadian team.
And it starts a week tomorrow.
Oh.
Let's go.
Giddy up. Gals, great stuff, man. As always on our show, we so appreciate your time. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, sorry about the spleen injury. I took a bit of time.
It's all right,
thanks,
buddy.
Gals, appreciate it.
You're good to go. We're load managing him, right? That's why we usually go 22 minutes with him. We went 18.
Yeah, we're preserving him for the playoffs.
Exactly.
Love Gals.
Oh, he's the best.
The man.
Brisbois in Winnipeg? Like, look at what he's done behind Hellebuyck. Hellebuck's gotten so much attention, rightfully so. But I don't know, the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks, this guy's been like money. Shutouts.
Yeah. I got to tell you, you know, home ice advantage in this series is massive. Because playing in Colorado at elevation, it's a significant disadvantage. You playing at home in Winnipeg is a big advantage. And, you know, this is a Jets team to me that can win. They have goaltending. They are deep. I think they, Colorado's, I mean, they're not perfect.
And nobody's talking about Winnipeg.
No.
Like, not like.
Well, that's
not like
great for them, right?
It's perfect.
Don't mention that Gorgiev may be a sieve, you know, or that there might be some questions down the lineup. Go ahead and talk up Colorado and let Winnipeg just go in, you know, thinking, playing playoff hockey with their elite goaltending.
Laurent,
you never know.
Brisbois is a very, very good backup goalie.
Oh, I mean, you know, he's probably a starter.
Well, no, I mean, he has 139 career starts. He's got a .911 save percentage.
Career.
And his yeah, it's career for his career.
Yeah.
And his totals are like, you know, 14, 21, 19, 14, 24, 11, 22. So it's just like a guy, like the perfect guy that plays the perfect amount of time that gives you exactly what you need. Like that's, you know, having a good backup goalie when you have an elite guy is massive. But think about all those back-to-back sleeves used to blow and they had like, I forget the guy they signed.
I forget all the goalies
they had. But they just had so many bad guys. And it's just, it's so valuable. So,
yep,
anyways.
Absolutely.
Little game time?
Absolutely.
It's game time.
Absolutely. If I have my lineup open, it's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Wow, he memorized it.
That was amazing.
That was impressive.
I had no idea if I was going to be able to do that. I left my lineup upstairs for the second straight show, so I didn't have it in front of me.
Welcome back, Sammy.
Yeah, I know. My brain's not firing at all cylinders here. Checking in on the Masters odds.
Mm.
Because as the leaderboard stands, I'm just pulling up the leaderboard here as my phone is, first of all, the Masters app is out of control good.
Quality app.
The leaderboard is as follows. Bryson DeChambeau and Scottie Scheffler are tied at the top at minus one. Max Homa is the next closest at minus six. Højgaard, Davis, Morikawa, Åberg, down it goes.
Yeah. DeChambeau's minus seven, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
According to Bet365, there's really three guys that are going to win this golf tournament. Scottie Scheffler is plus 105 live right now to win.
Ugh.
I love having him at 4-1.
Sure.
All of a sudden,
do.
Feel great about that.
Yeah.
When I was plugging my nose earlier.
Yeah.
Bryson DeChambeau is plus 375. Max Homa plus 600 live.
I got him at plus 1200 after round one.
Love that.
Yeah, jumped
and
in there.
And going up to plus 2200, it's the next guy. It's Colin Morikawa. There you go. So
don't hate that.
No, I don't hate it either. He's a guy that can go nuclear. You know, you get Fitzpatrick, who's minus two, minus one today.
Yeah. And as long as these guys stay plus, close, anyone can still climb up. Big Saturday.
But it just, it's all under the understanding that Scottie Scheffler could go out there on Saturday and just ruin this whole
he
golf tournament
to
for
miss
everyone.
Some shorties, yes. To keep everyone hanging.
Do your odds drop if you're just wearing like the goofiest outfit?
Is that Jason?
Well,
Day?
Sergio should have been kicked off the tour for his outfit
what
yesterday.
Was that? I didn't see Sergio's.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, he looked like the throw up emoji.
Look at it. Look at it right now while I'm searching at the hockey.
There was
hockey
green
odds.
And yellow.
It's one of the worst outfits in the history of the sport. He should have been kicked off the tour.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah. So
yay, she looks like an SOS pad.
Not a ton of great games tonight on the ice. I'm going to be honest with you, fellas. A lot of big favorites. There's not a ton of value. I guess you can look at some teams that, you know, I don't think the Calgary Flames should be minus 140 favorites over anyone at this point of the season. They're in Anaheim, plus 120. Maybe take a shot with a dog like that with a team that's checked out in Cabo mode. But outside of that, not a ton of value on the ice. And that's why I went with the Masters, and that was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds to find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Well done.
Thank you.
Okay, let's take a quick break, catch our breath while we tee up the text messages.
Got a bunch of good ones already, boys.
You do.
I do. 595.90
if you want to try to sneak one in. We'll get into some news and notes, including a new general manager in the Four Nations tournament.
Mm.
We'll tell you who that is for Canada. Rod Brind'Amour, some news on him.
Mm. Mm. What that?
Tons more. Don't go away. It's Real Kipper and Bourne.
Teeing up the biggest games of the night, it's the Fan Pregame with Ailish Forfar and Justin Cuthbert.
Weekdays at 6 p.m. on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This segment of Real Kipper and Bourne is brought to you by Hyundai. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee bringing it home on this Friday. Usually it's off the rails with including Doug McLean.
That was my first text question.
Oh, yeah? It was?
Yeah.
What do you got?
It says, nice to have Sammy back.
Our but, thanks to Sammy's wife for sending that in.
But where is Mac on Off the Rails Friday? Two in a row,
Max,
I think, boys. We didn't have a show last week, so.
It's Mac's birthday.
Oh.
Isn't it a big one today?
And it's a milestone.
What would Mac
turned 100?
Well,
Max 60.
If Austin scores two, it'll match Doug McLean's age.
No.
Really?
And no way.
Like 10 years ago, I remember doing Hockey Central at noon and bringing him like a muffin with a candle in it. And I almost set the sprinklers into the studio.
You got him a muffin?
For his
listen,
60th.
It was special.
A special muffin?
It was a muffin.
It was a laced?
And that felt like yesterday.
Yeah.
And he turned 60.
Well, at least he's living right. I don't know. Every
no,
time
he's
I...
at a member guest right now. Oh. A two-day member guest.
Yeah, I think that's the coolest thing.
Posh resort. Yeah.
He's playing Indian Creek Golf Club, Country Club in Florida. Apparently, one of the top 100 courses in America.
I'm guessing it's, you know, free golf, big prizes, great course. Yeah. Doug's living right, I'm telling you.
Wow. No wonder he blew us off.
He sent out a great picture. If you go to his Twitter account, he looks extremely happy. Way more happy than he would have been talking to us.
And we also, you know, don't pay him. Yeah. So he's free to kind of do what he wants.
Well, we got him a job as a scholar.
As much.
We sell him books.
He got a job as a scholar because of us.
How many copies do you think we sold of that book?
Do you really think anybody would have bought his book without us on the show telling people?
You get kickbacks on that? You get a piece or what? Yeah, nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. Feathers. Yeah. That's what I got.
Okay. Got a really nice text here, boys. I'm going to read. Okay. Self-serving one for us.
Right. Uh-oh.
What can I say? The three of you are the highlight of my day. What a team. You the best. I'm a 70-year-old great-grandmother. Grew up in Newfoundland, and I am the biggest Maple Leaf fan. I now live in Salmon Arm, BC, and during every game, my childhood friend and I, who still lives back home, text back and forth. I cannot lie. We do lots of swearing, but lots of big fun for sure.
Yes.
Thanks for allowing your audience to enjoy all of your hockey knowledge. I love your guests. Have you ever had Joe Bowen on your show? Yes, we have. He's my fave. P.S. Sammy, you're the best Leaf fan ever. From Mary Elizabeth.
I love Mary.
We love you, Mary Elizabeth.
Yeah, Salmon Arm. What a beautiful place.
So there you go, boys.
Awesome.
That's great.
All right.
Appreciate that.
Thank you very much. They're all downhill after Mary.
Yeah.
Another great question here, boys. Hello. Back in the day, there were dynasties. Thinking of JB's father's Islanders, four in a row. Before them, the Flying Frenchman Habs won four in a row. The Oilers won 5 of 7. Will this ever happen again today in today's NHL? Cheers from Kelowna. Todd.
Kelowna.
There you go.
Takedown's up.
Where do you put Tampa Bay's 2 or Pittsburgh's 2?
Chicago's 3.
LA's 2. I mean, those are mini salary cap dynasties.
Yeah.
That, to me, is the thing, is the salary cap. Those are dynasties
and
because
of teams.
Now, it's been talked about a little bit, but it's gonna grow here.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about the distance between some teams that can offer less taxes than other teams. And we just saw another prime example when Noah Hanifin signed for $7.35 million in Vegas. I'm telling you, for him to have been a Toronto Maple Leaf or a New York Ranger, they would have had to offer 9.5 million.
Mm.
Okay. That's a big deal. That's a concerning deal. And I don't know what the answer is. I'm not here to tell you the answer, but I am telling you, when the salary cap continues to grow, so does that advantage for those teams.
Yep.
And you're still the Rangers, the LA Kings, the Toronto Maple Leafs, Vancouver. You are amongst the highest grossing franchises, carrying a lot of freight for a $6 billion industry. You are at such a disadvantage.
I wonder if that
competitive disadvantage. You are pushing the money down to the lesser markets, and they are taking full advantage of signing players for less on the salary cap than you.
So your point is that those teams will have an advantage, could have dynasties. Eventually, they could hang on. Yeah. So with that, I think that with the salary cap rising, good teams now, like let's say you're getting good now, you should be able to hang on to your players. Like no team took it harder than the Tampa Bay Lightning, who've had to move on from what is essentially a Stanley Cup team of, you know, Gord, whatever.
World's smallest violin.
Yanni Gord, Killorn, Tyler Johnson when he was good. Yeah. You know, go through the list of guys, Palat.
Yeah. Eventually, they're going to have to pay Coleman, the fiddler, Goudreau, though, right? Because they've given up a lot of assets to go get
had to do
some
that
fresh blood.
Because of the cap. So they've had to get Brandon Hagel on his minimal contract, and they've paid assets for that. If they didn't have to worry about the cap so much, they wouldn't have to pay assets as much. And so getting good now, you'll be able to separate yourself. Yeah. And I also wonder, let's say the cap goes up a lot over the next 5 years, are all owners right now? 90% of owners spend to the cap. It's been flat for years.
Yeah.
Will they all be willing to go that high? I don't think so. So taxes, higher cap, owner spending differences. You may see teams separate and stay at the top for longer. So, yes.
We just got a text that said, the answer is the cap figures needs to be before the tax.
The cap figure pre-tax money.
Yeah.
That sounds pretty reasonable to me.
Kipper?
Let's try it.
Okay. Love it. Let me get it. This is the 17th attempt at getting on the show. Okay. 17th time's the charm.
They say.
Between Kipper, Bourne, and Sammy, with possibly Philly and Washington crapping the bed for a playoff spot, what are your three predictions and hopes as to who will take, A, the last wildcard spot, and take the last Metro spot? What will their playoff chances be in round one? Well, I can answer that part for you first.
Mm.
Not great.
Not great chances.
For the team that gets in.
The only team that has a chance, if they get in, is Pittsburgh. Because they have elite players who can black out.
So, are you really doing this, they're the Florida thing?
No.
Like, because I think I've seen that narrative a lot, where people are like, they're this year's Florida. But I'm like, I don't know.
They might be. Are we sure that the one seeds are that much better than the Penguins? You love the Bruins? What have they been since January 1st? Oh, just over 500?
Listen, yeah. I'm starting to handicap teams from the net right to the end of the blue paint. And I don't – who's in front of that after is a second conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm putting a lot of stock into whose goalie shows up early here has a chance.
Yeah.
And just an example of the Leafs here, when Samsonov's first, second, or third star, the Leafs win. If he is giving up six goals on 20 shots like any other team that plays, you got no shot. 70-goal score, 100-point assist guys, no shot unless – your goaltender is one of three stars that night.
You know, among teams that have two goalies, I wonder if, like, you learn from Boston last year and just have a quicker hook. You know, like, if Samsonov comes out in the first period of the game one and gives up a couple of stinkers, maybe just go, we're just going to do it right away. Joseph Woll's going in, so, game one.
You know
look at this.
Backup goalies, Brossoit. And I'm not saying that Hellebuck made hiccup.
But if he has a bad night, you trust him.
You know, the other guy that has been really impressive is that Stolarz.
Stolarz is my favorite backup outside of Brossoit.
Right? He's got a great setup, too. His gear looks great.
Like,
does he?
Oh, yeah, he looks really good.
He's got great numbers, I can tell you that.
Bobrovsky was fantastic last year and still probably the main reason why the Leafs got lost in five.
But don't forget, he didn't start playoffs for them. Lyon did.
Yeah.
He came in. He came out of the pen.
Yeah,
and got hot. So your backup can do that for you.
Yep. All right. Good answer, boys. I pulled up my wrong page here. Hey guys, just texting from Calgary. I would like to hear what your opinions are on Calgary's big moves this offseason. The noteworthy of noteworthy, Ray. Thanks, Ray.
You know, I think the Calgary Flames could have talked themselves into. We got a playoff team, you know, and we're going to hang on to these
guys. They're probably
guys.
Better than the Blues. Like, if they would have kept their team together, like, they would have been probably better than them.
They'd be humming around a playoff spot, whatever, but they had to be honest with themselves. You know, they're going to get a new arena in, what, 2027? They're going to move in. You want to be ready for then. I liked what they did.
Just tell me where Markstrom is in September.
Oh, well, sure, New Jersey.
Okay, and then we're looking at Wolf.
Yep.
As the number one goalie.
Wolf Ladar. You have Ladar for another year at $2 million, don't you?
I don't know. I mean, Buffalo thought they were going to make Devin Levi a number one goalie.
Good parallel, actually.
Yeah. So, come on. Some of these guys, they need 6 years to come into a mindset. And they're all talented.
Yeah.
They're all coached the same way. That's why sometimes you can barely recognize them. They all look the same. But what's the difference? Saturday and Sunday at the Masters. What's between the ears? Are you ready for that?
Yeah.
Wolf ready to be a number one goalie in Canada?
Askarov in Nashville. Yeah, I guess that's different in Canada, yeah.
Especially in Canada. So that to me, you got to just start the conversation in Calgary with, are you going to keep Markstrom around for the next couple of years?
Oh, do you hear his interview? If you want to knock on the door,
if you think you can tweak this thing in Calgary and get them back in, you can't get rid of Markstrom.
Mm-hmm.
Quickly, speaking of Calgary, I went on Calgary radio today with my boy, George Rusick. and just to quickly talk about the Masters, went on for 10 minutes or so, completely sidetracked me and went, hey, Mike Vernon's in studio. Welcome. Want to say hi to Mike Vernon, Hall of Famer? I was like, sure. Hi, Vernie. How are you?
And he said, who are you?
He interviewed me for 10 minutes about the Masters. He asked me like four questions about the Masters.
Hall of Famer is asking you questions.
Yeah, he's like, what do you think of that Højgaard?
This is where...
It's a stupid business.
Can we have a Tortorella, please?
It's a dumb league.
I couldn't believe it. And we had some great conversations. Me and Bernie were best buds by the end of the interview. Couldn't believe it.
Am I going to have to download this?
Yeah, if you want.
It's a dumb league.
Rustic would really appreciate it if you did. Before we go.
Yes.
Can you name 108 different players have scored a goal on Sidney Crosby's assists? You got to 1,000. Can you name the top five? The most goals off Sidney assists.
Malkin,
number one.
Letang?
He's number four.
Kunitz?
Number three.
Good one. Gensel?
Number two.
Wow, we're pretty good.
Number five.
Is this one tricky?
Still on the team. Still on Pittsburgh.
Still on the team.
Who else is good on that
You
team?
Protect this, your car against Rust? This in the winter. Yeah, Rust. Brian Rust. Yeah, there you go.
Okay. We were good there for a while.
If you go to Sportsnet Stats, they retweeted it from the Penguins PR. Yep. It's an awesome list. Yeah. Like, Mario Lemieux has one goal off a Sidney Crosby assist. Yeah.
That's
great. Looking at this, like, Andre Waugh has one with a Sid assist. it's amazing.
Lemieux and Andre Waugh.
A really cool list to look through.
I did mention Rod Brind'Amour. I hear he's really close to signing a new contract.
Really?
Yeah. And
he is the Hurricanes,
and it won't be a contract that'll make him the highest paid in the league, but it won't put him in the bottom, which he's been at for the last while.
Which is obscene.
Jack Adams conversation.
One of the delays, and this is so Rod Brind'Amour. One of the delays in this is he wants to make sure there's people around him that are looked after, and getting new contracts as well.
I thought you meant his spotters at the gym. They were around.
No.
He wants people around him because he drops the weights he carries around.
He doesn't envision himself coaching anywhere else but Carolina.
I mean, he has a family there, right? I think he even coaches his son's peewee team when he can. So, yeah, he seems like he's embedded there. Not a guy who so much desires to be an NHL head coach as the coach of the Carolina Hurricanes. So very cool. Yeah. They have an identity. They have success. It only makes sense.
Just going to say that this segment of Real Kipper and Born was brought to you by Hyundai. The 2024 Santa Fe Hybrid NHL Edition is made for those who drive hockey. Only 500 available, fellas. So order yours today.
Hockey car.
Nice job, Sammy. I want to give out, and I want to do this every Friday, but I forget because, I've had concussions. Nicholas Blackmore here at Sportsnet always puts together a best of Real Kipper and Bourne.
Yeah, it's awesome.
That runs Saturday mornings.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to give him a shout out.
Yeah, it's very jarring. Sometimes I'm in the car at that time. I just turn on the radio. I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh, God, it's me.
That's me. Off. It's horrible.
Well, it gives you a break from Googling yourself.
Oh, yeah. That's my favorite thing to do, as you know,
Masters Kimpy. Weekend. NHL final weekend. We're into the sports sweet spot of the calendar.
So, couple things. Monday. Matthews, does he have 70 when we sit down on Monday?
No. No, and it's going to be drama about what to do next.
We did a Leaf edition about a month and a half ago, and we were asked what number he ends up with, and it was over or under 70.
Was it?
Yeah, and I said 69.
Great. Kip, thanks.
How about you? Do you remember your answer?
I think I might have been right there. I mean, I don't think I said. I definitely wouldn't have said over 70 because I never saw it.
And it was based off of, like, make sure that it doesn't become like this obsession for 2 weeks.
Boys, we're sitting here on Monday talking about how he's the first guy since Solani and McGillney to do it.
Wow. Bold proclamation.
Yeah. And both those guys.
Detroit needs this game. They're going to be all over him.
And both those guys that year got knocked out in the first round.
Really? Is that true? Oh, you're such. That's the last thing you're going to say to me on a Friday. Yeah.
Enjoy your weekend.
Hey, what? Homework for you. Look it up.
Oh, you don't even know if it's true.
Oh, I do believe. I do believe it's true. All right. Derek Brandeo, we're all good, buddy. Sammy got her in. Have a great weekend, everybody. Enjoy your games as the picture gets clearer. to the National Hockey League Stanley Cup playoffs. If you get a chance, give us a rating and review, download us, and we're back Monday on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show.